The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Customers for your business? Are you facing new competitors? Not just across town, but across the country. How about across borders? How about worldwide? Welcome to Global Reach with your host, Tay Revez. As new technology makes it easier to connect with your customers, it also makes it easier for international competitors to reach them. Our program will help you stay competitive in a tough marketplace. Now, here's your host, Tay Revez.
Welcome back to Global Reach, everyone. This is the show that helps your business deal with opportunities and risks in the global marketplace. With upcoming elections and forecasts of less than 1% growth this year, my guest and friend, Tim Brower, the CEO of SCP Deutschland, is joining us from Heidelberg. Tim's going to talk about what's ahead for Germany, Europe's leading economy, in 2013. Welcome back to Global Reach, Tim.
Good morning from Deutschland. Hello, Tay.
Tim and I, we're going to take a look at how Germany's powerhouse manufacturing sector is shaping up, whether Germany is really benefiting from its support for the euro and all the resources that it forked over to fellow EU members. We're going to take a look at the China-German connection, which has been pretty quiet, except probably in Germany. Finally, we're going to look at how all this is going to affect international business. But before we start and really look and see whether German elections are going to produce a surprise for us, I want to tell you a little more about Tim. He's based in Heidelberg, Germany, and is the CEO and co-owner of SVP Deutschland AG. This is Germany's leading market intelligence service, and I might add a Global Reach SBI partner. Tim studied physics and national economics at the University of Heidelberg, and at Pace in New York City. In 1999, he started working for SVP Deutschland doing research projects for clients in the consulting area, such as McKinsey and BCG. He later established a practice group for larger research projects and took over part of the company's assets in 2002 when he became the CEO when the founder of SVP Deutschland retired. Since then, Tim has been developing the company towards more and more industry specialization. And he acquired the patent research practice from the American company Sofion PLC. SVP Deutschland specializes in cross-country research all over Europe together with an expert network, and I'll tell you, he's a great partner. He's also got tremendous knowledge about Germany and Europe, so welcome again, Tim.
Okay. Nice hearing you again here on this web air.
Germany stands out in having the lowest core inflation, the lowest growth in unit labor costs. You guys made some really tough choices in 2008, and you weathered it better than probably any other country in Europe. But you've also had to really prop up, particularly the southern EU member states, and I think that's probably been beginning to really drag on the economy. So you've got elections coming up. Chancellor Angela Merkel is facing elections this autumn. Is she a shoo-in, or will the slowing economy and the massive resource transfer give the opportunity a chance, give the opposition a chance?
Well, they have a chance. They definitely have a chance, even though the main candidate for the Social Democrats is not doing well at the moment. But you have to keep in mind that there are a couple of parties in the elections that might come in or not, and depending on whether they come in or not, Angela Merkel is going to continue. And the main question is, what is with the smaller parties like the Pirates, a new party that I don't know if many in America heard about it. And then there is the extreme left wing, the left wing party. And then there are the Free Democrats, current coalition partner, which are very much in danger of not coming into the parliament again. And depending on these smaller parties, we really don't know what's going to happen.
And now back up 1 minute, Tim. Do you really have a party called the Pirate Party? What on earth?
Indeed. It's a bit difficult to describe what their program is because they are still trying to figure that out. But they have come from a core of internet individualists who were really fed up with the way the established parties handled the political work. So in the beginning, it was really something like an internet party.
Huh. Who's their leader?
Yeah, they managed to get into a couple of these country parliaments, or like the state in the United States, and they looked pretty strong 9 months ago. They don't look that strong at the moment, and it's far from sure that they come in. If they come in, it'll be very difficult to structure a clear new coalition here.
Now, you've got an election coming up on Sunday in Lower Saxony. How do you see the outcome of that? What's it going to say about Chancellor Merkel's chances to continue at the helm of Germany?
Well, it cannot do her any harm, really. She can only gain from that election. If the current president there is re-elected, that's fine with her. If he loses, which can happen, it doesn't hurt her really that much. But if the Social Democrats lose, this will be a big blow to her rival, whose name is Peer Steinbrück. And there are already voices in the Social Democrat Party that say if the election in Lower Saxony is lost, then he should step back from his chancellor candidacy.
Do they have someone else to put in his place?
No, not really.
That could be a problem. Why is he doing so badly?
Well, he is not smooth and clever. He is saying things that are probably true, like that the salary for the chancellor in Germany is too low, which it definitely is. But you simply don't say that before an election, especially not if you're a social democrat.
Not if you're the one running for the job.
Yeah, it was really not clever.
No. Open mouth, put in foot. So Steinbrück and, the Social Democrats and the Grünen and the Greens have been very outspoken about calling for stricter banking regulations and calling for a separation of investment banking from commercial banking, something that's also been happening in the U.S. But is there any chance that that's actually going to happen?
Yeah, firstly, let me say something about the Greens. The Greens are the winner of the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years in Germany. They have a clear program, and they have won in nearly every election the past couple of years. So they are really they have the strongest momentum in any way. And it may well be that after the election there will be a, we call it, grand coalition between the Social Democrats and the Conservatives. Maybe even the Greens will play a part in whatever coalition. And even in the with the Conservatives, there are strong voices. They call for that kind of reorganization of the banking sector. Banks are very, very unpopular in Germany at the moment.
Why?
Well, I don't know if banks are popular in the United States at the moment.
Well, they haven't been, but I mean, here it's been primarily the mortgage crisis, and of course, again, the question about what happened in 2008. But were German banks responsible for the same kind of shenanigans?
Yes. We talked about all the money that is pouring out to the south here from Germany. I mean, we also saved a lot of banks, and so far they really didn't give us much reason to think that, looking back, this was a good idea. No, banks are very, very unpopular because of the way they handled their business and because of the greed and the total carelessness about risks and the spillovers from their business.
Uh-huh. So it's what's Germany's equivalent of Wall Street?
Well, it's Frankfurt. Frankfurt is the big stock market.
So Frankfurt, Main Street.
Well, we don't have a street there that is so important. It's just the stock market in Frankfurt.
Now, there's been some disputes over both taxes and welfare. What's going on there? We got about 2 minutes to break, but let's just like.
Okay. Yeah. The social Democrats want to increase taxes. Right now, the reigning coalition doesn't want to do that. That's basically the scenario. The Greens want to increase taxes as well. We don't know what the Pirates want, and well, you can guess what the Socialist, the left-wing party wants. That's pretty clear-cut at the moment.
But it's the Socialists who've accused Chancellor Merkel of attempting to bribe German voters. Is she, and what do they mean by that?
No. She is not bribing them. Actually, what she does is she is prolonging the misery, a misery that isn't as visible at the moment as it could be. And I think she is trying to stretch that over the election so that at the time of the election she can be presented as the savior of the crisis. And she hopes that until then no other big crash or downturn or whatever happens. And she might very well succeed with that strategy.
Is she going to actually be able to understand that she's required to balance the budget structurally by 2014? Is she going to be able to do that?
The German economy is mighty at the moment, really. We are very, very strong, and all tax estimations are going through the roof. So, yes, she will be able to do that. She could do it this year if she wanted.
Very, very interesting. On that note, we're going to go to break. When we get back, I just want to start very quickly on what the new energy policy is, and then I want to look at Germany and the euro. So don't go away, everybody. We've got a lot more to come looking at what's ahead for Europe's mightiest economy and what it means to the rest of the world.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition,
and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with my guest, Tim Brower from SVP Deutschland, calling in from Heidelberg. Tim, just before we went to break, we mentioned Germany had made a major change in its energy policy. Germany's been a leader in renewable energy, so what's happening there?
Two different things that have a heavy impact on the industry. First, of course, we decided to drop out of nuclear power. Well, we really did that, and right now we have more and more risk in our energy system. We didn't have a big blackout so far, but the dangerous situations have risen from 3 in a year to more than 1,000 in a year.
Wow.
So far nothing happened, but there is more stress on the system. And the other thing is that the current coalition removed a lot of the subsidies for solar power and renewable energy, and that had a lot of impact on some of the front runners in the solar industry. Many of them in Germany went bankrupt as a combination of these missing subsidies and the competition from China.
Huh. So with a more fragile infrastructure now in your energy infrastructure, what is that going to mean for German manufacturing?
Well, they have to be smarter with their energy management, and German companies have already reacted to that. There is a close collaboration with the energy companies and the big energy users, and so far they have managed that, but there is a problem, and politicians have realized that and are now pushing forward to reinforce our energy infrastructure, and that means that they are trying to change a couple of laws that make it easier and much faster to build cross-country energy lines.
What kind of opportunities or risks does that open up for international business or international companies out of this completely?
Well, I wouldn't think, unless you set up a new aluminium plant somewhere in the south of Germany, that this would impact you that much. And I think that with a time horizon of 3 to 5 years, this thing will be solved. I don't think that you have a problem with that at the moment, if you would like to invest here.
Okay. Let's turn to the euro. Really like to know who is really gaining from the euro. Some say the German economy has been the real beneficiary. Other people saying it's hurt Germany more than it's helped it. Where do you stand on that?
Well, this is, both statements are true. It just depends on what you look at. If you look at the euro as a whole, then Germany has definitely not profited or gained from it. The first 10 years of the euro, and I wouldn't say the euro started in 2000. I would say it started when the courses, the exchange rates were fixed. I think that was in 1997. We had 10 years of very much declining growth. We had we were the poor man of the eurozone. We had very, very little growth. We had very, very little increase in wages for more than 10 years. And this was really Germany suffering from the euro during that time. Things changed around 2007. We started to gain because of the changes and reforms that Chancellor Schröder did with his Agenda 2010. And actually, Angela Merkel has profited very, very much from that. And since then, our economy has grown very much. We are very strong at the moment, but we are losing all that money. And there is a very complicated but very bad mechanism working at the moment. I don't know if you've heard about the target balances at the European Bank, European Central Bank.
Why don't you explain them for the audience?
Well, basically, it's a mechanism that leads to, for example, that if a farmer in Greece buys a German Mercedes, then he gets his money from a Greek bank, who in turn gets the money from the Greek Central Bank, who is then transferring that debt to the European Central Bank, and that transfers that back to a German bank, and then Mercedes gets the money. So Mercedes gets the money, and the German Central Bank gets an account at the they get debt versus the Greek Central Bank, and we have amassed around 850 billion of these of euros that the Greece Central Bank owes the German Central Bank. And my feeling is that that money is lost, and that's about half of the whole German assets outside of Germany. That's
wow.
An enormous amount of money. And each month this debt is rising by around 30 to 40 billion euros. And if Greece goes bankrupt, that money is probably lost, because there is nothing implemented as a procedure how to deal with it.
Nobody and then what does that mean for Germany's economy?
Well, if that happens, and it's not likely that this will happen very soon, but if that happens, we will have to increase taxes enormously in order to deal with that imbalance.
Huh.
And that will definitely lead us to a big, big recession.
So do you think any of the southern countries would have been willing to loan money to Germany the way Germany's been lending money to them?
Of course not. No. No, I'm not very positive on that whole issue. I think they did a good job of luring Germany ever more deeper into a big trap, and this big trap are these target balances. And especially the French have been very successful in getting our money to try to save their banks, because the French banks are very much involved in Greece and Italy, etc. And they have been very successful. We have not been that successful.
So is resentment towards the euro, even towards the EU, growing in Germany?
Yes. It's growing, but it's not that big. Still, I don't really know why, but we somehow don't combine the things. Germans see the European Union as a very, very positive thing. The number of people who are in favor of the euro is lower. But I would still say that that a majority is in favor of staying in the euro. I'm also in favor of staying in the euro. I just think that some other countries should try to drop out. Because my feeling is that in Greece, for example, people are suffering heavily under the restrictions. They really took a lot of heavy reforms on their shoulders, and so far nothing has happened. So people are starving there. They don't have enough to eat because they cannot pay for it, because they have to pay in euro. And the prices, which are about 40% too high in order to compete, haven't lowered a little bit. They've risen.
Last year you thought Greece would stay in the eurozone. Do you think now it is going to leave?
Well, so far I was right. I think I will be right for the next couple of years. And that's because of one thing that you mentioned in your abstract for the webcast today. It's because of China. China has invested heavily in the euro, in Greece. They have bought the harbor of Piraeus, I think. They bought one of the big harbors in Greece. They also bought a lot of the new emission bonds that have been given out during the crisis. And Chancellor Merkel met with the Chinese leaders a couple of months ago, and I don't know what they talked about, but I'm pretty sure that they said something like, you will not let the Greeks go out of the euro, you know.
That's interesting, China becoming banker to the world, not just the U.S. But that's very, very interesting. How... We read that Germany has been pushing the other members of the EU, of the eurozone, to adopt policies more in line with yours. How successful is it being? We've got about a minute to break, and then we'll probably pick this up again when we come back. But how successful is Germany in terms of influencing the policies of the EU institutions and other EU governments to move themselves in line with your kind of policies, your more prudent policies?
Considerably successful. I mean, even Berlusconi had to go in Italy. I mean, well, that's quite something.
You know what, on that note, I just see that we're out of time. We'll pick this up right after break.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country case studies and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with my guest, Jim Brower of SVP Deutschland, and we were talking about the euro and whether Germany has been right in asking the rest of the eurozone to demonstrate signs of more fiscally responsible behavior. We were talking about Italy, and you were talking about the new Monti government.
Yes, well, the new Monti government is already the old one at the moment.
Yeah, so, in Italy's history, that's true.
We don't know what's going to happen there. But if there is one benefit from the crisis, we can say that all the European countries, or most of them, have agreed upon a more sensible or a more restricted policy regarding their spendings, getting their spendings in order, getting taxes to the level of the that is sustainable. There has been progress, a lot of progress, really, more than one could really expect at the beginning.
So, if you're seeing all various countries, groups of technocrats and experts running the government in their cabinets, do you think people in the countries, the voters, are going to swallow this, or are they hurting so much they'll kick them out in the next set of elections?
It depends from country to country. If you see, the most successful country in dealing with the crisis has been the small country of Iceland. And they refused to step in for their banks. They let them go bankrupt.
And
they refused to use taxpayers' money. And they have been the fastest to recover.
Interesting.
Ireland did a little bit like that. They didn't let their banks go bankrupt, but they have been pretty tough on their people. And, well, people swallowed it there. And Ireland is also picking up momentum at the moment. What's going to happen in Italy? Well, we don't know. We've seen what happened in France. I don't know if the euro crisis is the main reason there, but the government has changed there. So I think they are willing to take it for a couple of years, 1, 2, 3, but then there should be some success, and so far we haven't seen much success, really.
Have you seen any, that kind of this following Germany's lead is creating any resentment for Germany outside of the country, among other EU members?
Oh, well, we are not very popular with the Greece at the moment. I don't know if you have seen the pictures of Chancellor Merkel as Hitler in Greece. So I don't think we did a very good job of telling, of handling the crisis by telling the Greek what they have to do. I think that was a major mistake. And yeah, there is some resentment growing in a couple of countries, but it's not that bad. At least that's the feeling that we get here in Germany at the moment.
So do you think all of these efforts are going to bring the EU towards greater banking, economic, fiscal, and political integration, or do you think the resentment's going to drive it further apart?
Actually, both. What we are seeing right now is something like more and more drop out of the United Kingdom. They are really, there have been a lot of voices in recent weeks of saying, let them get out of the Eurozone, and not of the Eurozone, of the European Union. They really don't want to belong there. So we are drifting apart from the United Kingdom because they also do not want to limit or restrict their banks. The rest is pretty much in line with a much stricter banking policy. And so these countries are coming closer together at the moment.
I was speaking with a French journalist back in December who was saying if the UK won't join the Eurozone, they should get out of the EU. And he was quite adamant about it. So then, of course...
Yeah, there have been voices in Germany, too, saying that. And there have also been voices in the United Kingdom saying that. So this is not an unlikely scenario.
I understand there may be a referendum on that in the near future.
Yeah, if they have a referendum, I think they'll get out.
So let's talk about a little bit about the economy. Is Germany really in for a year of stagnation? And if so, when do you pull out of it?
Well, no, I think we will find that the German growth will be better in 2013 than they have, than the prognosis has been. I think we are really, really strong at the moment. And right now we are benefiting from the euro, and there have been a lot of voices over the last couple of weeks saying that the dollar should be worth a little more. That means the euro should be a little weaker, and this will help our exports, which are really strong at the moment, even more. So I don't see any slowing down of our economy the next year.
At the moment, the euro is up against the dollar. It's higher than it was back. Certainly higher than it was back in September.
Yeah, I'm referring to some studies that say at the moment the dollar is undervalued. I don't know if that's true, really, but this has been the general impression that I got from the big economic institutes here in Germany.
Could be concern for the battle royal that's going on in Congress and between Congress and the White House. So the European Commission actually cut its forecast for Germany from 1.7 GDP growth in 2013 down to 0.8%. So say again, why do you think they're wrong? You said the economy's strong, but what sectors are really strong that are going to put paid to those experts?
Well, our exports are very strong, and we are seeing increases in the wages at the moment. So our inland domestic consumption is not going to slow down. What we saw over the last couple of months was deterioration of the outlook. So many companies said, we are estimating things to go worse or not as bright as at the moment, but at the moment things are good. And the statement, things are good, they just revolved and revolved. So everybody's expecting it to slow down, but the last 6 months it didn't. Okay. And so I think that the sentiment is not or is better than or worse than the situation.
So where are the opportunities? We have an international business audience. Where are the opportunities in Germany in the next 6 months to a year?
Well, right now we have a strong German domestic demand. So people are buying here, and if somebody is selling to consumers at the moment or to export companies, this is time to come over here. I mean, there is a lot of demand, and the wages are still very, very competitive. That is the envy of our neighbors like the French or people in Italy who have a much less good ratio of costs to output.
So any particular product areas our audience could target? Any consumer electronics, clothing, household goods? What about some of the export sector? What are they buying? Any feel for which of our companies, which of our listener companies might be able to take advantage of the of Germany's strength?
Well, right now we a lot of money that is coming into Germany. There is a lot of money coming from all over Europe into Germany. Goes into the housing sector, building. Then, of course, the export industry, which is mainly our machinery and our cars, that still sell very well over the world. Most of the consumer goods that we buy come from the outside. I mean, Apple is also very popular here, but also Samsung and all these the usual suspects in electronics, which are mainly not German companies. They do very well at the moment. So consumer electronics is a big thing at the moment. Also, interior, furniture, that kind of thing. Things that you buy when you have a little money in a middle-class household.
Sounds good. In the industrial sector, Germany's known for its engineering excellence, but are you also purchasing sophisticated industrial equipment?
Well, of course we do it, because Germany is a big country in economics, but on a greater scale, I would say, no, we are not importing that much machinery, really. And most of our trade in machinery is within the European Union. I don't think we import that much, for example, from the United States.
What markets are you targeting? Is Germany are German companies targeting?
Well, we target the Eastern European countries with a lot of machinery, because they have still a big gap in their infrastructure. They need to shape up. They need to buy new equipment. They have to put up energy lines, pipelines, every sort of equipment. We also target, of course, China and India.
Ah.
And I think from the looking at the development of the relationships, our ties to China are further developed than our ties to India. That has a lot to do with our automotive companies starting doing their business in China and going to India as a third or fourth step, really. So we are doing a lot with China.
We've got to go to break now, but when we get back, I want to talk more about Chancellor Merkel's trip to China, because she didn't just go with a political contingent. She took a large cohort of German CEOs with her, and I'd like to get a better feel for how the German-Chinese commercial relationship is evolving. So don't go away. This could change the entire world competition picture.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks.
We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Tay Revez, and I'm here with Tim Brower calling in from Heidelberg, and we're talking about the China-German connection. So, as I said just when we went to break, Chancellor Merkel brought a large contingent of German CEOs to China. What does that say in terms of growing commercial ties between the two countries?
Well, a lot. If you look at the list of the people that went with her, these were the CEOs of really the biggest German companies like the chemical giant BASF or Siemens or Volkswagen. So these are the economic leaders here of our industry, and they really want to intensify their relationship in China, not just a little bit. They really want to make it big, really big. And if these companies go there, all their suppliers go there as well. So the German know-how in technical and engineering things is now going China.
Huh.
So I mean, this is also meant to speed up the Chinese development. They are very, very organized in their politics. They can do that in that dictatorship. And they really want to close the gap between the developed countries and their country.
How do you see that changing the competitive picture for selling into China's market? Do you think Germany is going to, the German companies are going to be able to become the dominant foreign suppliers?
I don't know if we are big enough to be the dominant supplier, but our products are much appreciated, but they're also copied a lot. I don't know if the whole thing is really worth it in the long run for Germany, but it's definitely worthwhile for the Chinese, and if we look at all the poor people there, they will probably benefit from us, from our going abroad. I don't know if we benefit that much.
Listen, we've got a caller on hold. Alan Klein, can you put him through, please?
Hello?
Alan, are you there?
I'm here.
Thanks for calling in. You have a question for Tim.
Actually, I have two questions for Tim. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Thanks.
I guess given where you are, I should be saying guten Abend. Good evening.
Yeah, guten Abend. Jawohl. It's late here.
Danke schön. I'm calling from the West Coast, actually, so it's just noon here. But here's my first question, and I'm thinking of actually of your business at SVP Deutschland. Are you finding that you are getting more strategic projects versus the traditional simple information projects in this current economy?
Yes, that's a question, definitely. Our clients are much more in a strategic scope thinking at the moment. There are competitors coming into the established markets of the German companies that they haven't heard of, from Asia, from Eastern Europe, and they really want to set up things there, and there are a lot of more strategic projects, yes. The basic information needs are not that relevant anymore.
Well, that's an interesting evolution for your business. You've partly
answered
my second question, Tim, which is, are you finding that more of your assignments for strategic projects are global in nature as compared to domestic Germany?
Yeah, there is a trend. It's not that strong. The main thing is that the main trend is that projects get bigger, but that has to do with a lot of things that are covering more countries at the moment and more competitors. The second trend is there as well, but it's not as strong as the first one.
Well, there's certainly been some interest in the U.S. market, hasn't there?
Indeed, it has, yes.
Alan, do you want to follow up with another question?
No, that's it. I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you. I'm enjoying this interview very much. It's extremely informative. Thanks very much, and goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen.
Take care, Alan. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
So, I have a question. How worried is Germany? I said there's some interest in the U.S. market. How worried is Germany over the very disjointed and rancorous political situation in the U.S.? We've been very close allies for decades.
People in Germany have a big problem understanding the Republicans. The Republican thinking is so far away from the political spectrum that we have here. You can't explain to anyone in Germany why anybody could be against a healthcare system. I've been to the U.S. a couple of times, so I can somehow understand what's behind that thinking, but generally, people in Germany don't understand that view. We also would never be able to understand that view that you have on guns. On the other hand, we have to be fair, nobody understands why there is still no speed limit on our Autobahn, of course, because that's causing a lot of death as well.
Huh. So we're coming towards the end of the show. What are the most important takeaways for our listener? What should they be taking away from this that they can use for their own businesses? We've got about 1 minute for you to say that.
Well, I think you put out one of the important trends that we can see. I mean, China is really the big player, and they are very smart about what they do at the moment. I think that we are still underestimating the kind of problems that they will face in China because of the development of the country. People will start worrying about their environment and about the structure, and there will be probably some turmoil in China as well. But right now the leaders there are really trying to get their country into shape as fast as possible, and they are doing that very clever. They are using their loans that they've given across the world in order to benefit from it and to get decisions in their way. And I think that has to be kept in mind. And the second thing is that while there is the big turmoil in the European Union with all the countries in the south, the country in the north, if you look at the Scandinavian countries, for example, and Germany, of course, and Austria and Switzerland, they are very strong at the moment, and there is a lot of business to be made.
Really good to know. Tim, how can people get in touch with you if they want to?
Well, they can look at our website. It's www.svp.de. And then they can simply send us an email or send me an email. That's my name, tbrower@svp.de, or they just call you and you will transfer it.
Yes, I will. As I said, we have a good working partnership. So we've just got about a minute before we close. I want to really thank you for being on the show. It was a terrific experience. Thank you so much, Tim.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Next week, we have another return guest, John Price, Managing Director of America's Market Intelligence and a 20-year veteran of consulting in Latin America. Also, I might add, another Global Reach SBI partner. He's going to talk about, is Latin America doomed to repeat its commodity boom and bust? Latin America has grown at an enviable pace, in large part due to historically high nature of resource prices, foodstuff, precious metal, energy. But commodity prices fall often as fast as they rise. So how sustainable is Latin America's emerging market levels of growth? It's going to be really interesting. We're going to know what we're going to do there for 2013. So be sure to come back. Please send us questions. If you have a topic you'd like me to cover, do ask me. Thank you so much, and use the next week to extend your global reach.
Thank you for listening to Global Reach with Tay Revez. Please join us again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.